So it's Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. Now, the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastwards, they found the plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." So they used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If, as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. So I'll pray as we start. Father, thank you that your church can meet here this morning. Thank you that you speak to your church by your word. Thank you that you care so much about how we live, that you speak to us. We pray that as we sit and hear and as I speak, that your spirit will be working on us, helping us to understand what you're saying to us, and all the sin and deceitfulness that in our lives that kind of tries to get around that will be just taken away by your spirit, and that we would submit to you and obey your word. Amen. So as we were saying, I was a part of this church for 5 years, and about 6 years ago, I had a friend who I lived with who was part of this church. Probably some of you know him. He was from Korea. His name was Won, and he became a Christian in this church, and we lived together for about a year. So Won had come to Ireland to study English, He didn't do a very good job because he needed money, so he got a job in a Chinese restaurant, and it was one of these places. He was the waiter, and then he'd have to go and clean, and then sometimes he'd have to cook. He was just working all the time. He worked about 60 hours a week, so he didn't have much time to learn English. He'd try and find these key phrases that really expressed what he meant. So one thing Juan used to say a lot was, "Together is better." He got there, it was Three, the mobile phone company. This was their slogan at the time. It was, "Together is better." And Juan had heard that, and he was like, that's what he wanted to say. So he'd come to church, you know, we'd sing together, be worshipping together. I suppose that's what I've been feeling today. Together is better. It's great to come together and worship God. And, you know, if we had a party at our house, we'd get a lot of people around. One would say, "Oh, together is better. You know, together is better." It worked for so many situations in life. And I think it worked because it was just profoundly true. Together is better. People are meant to live together. People are meant to be in relationships. We're not meant to be off on our own. And so together is better. And I think sometimes if we take that, instead of just being a party or church or something small, we take that and we spread it around, and we think, if people could come together, so many of the problems in the world could be sorted out. This book of Genesis, it's been this story of people causing problems for other people. You know, Cain killed his brother Abel. There's another guy a little while later killed another guy. You know, it's just been, people have been messing up each other's lives. People have been against each other. So this idea, if people can come together, it would be better. If people could just come together, we could fix the problems of the world. And this is a picture of this world that is broken. And here in this passage, we see the closest people have ever come to coming together to fix the world. That's what I think this is. It's the closest people have ever come to fixing the problems of the world. They're coming together, saying, we can do this. We can build a community, build a society that works. So you can see this. verse 1, the whole world had one language and a common speech. So this was before languages were split up, and so they could understand each other. So they had a lot better chance of coming together than we have. Sometimes when someone has a different culture, a different speech, you are a little bit more suspicious of them. But when everyone has the same culture, the same speech, they're more likely to come together, to be unified. And verse 2, they were moved eastward. They were wandering. This was a few generations after the flood. So God had sent this big flood on the earth. And these were the children of the survivors. Their parents had survived the flood, and their families had spread from that. And they seem scared, really. That's what it seems to me. They're wandering. They move eastwards. They're looking for a home. They're looking for somewhere where they can belong. They find this plain in Shinar, and they settle there. So this is roughly where Iraq is now. It's very flat country. It's got these big rivers. So it's hot and with lots of water. So it's a really perfect place for living. You can grow food very, very easily if you manage it right. So it's a really good place to settle. So they say, we're going to settle there. And verse 3, they said, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they start to build. And they're using things which God has made. They're digging clay out of the ground. They're baking it. They're using technology to improve their lives. This is something which God has given. God has given people this good ability to use technology to improve their lives. And they're coming together. It's interesting. They say, come, let's do this together. Let's improve our lives. Let's make bricks. Let's make buildings. So they're using, it's coming together to use this good thing which God has given. And that's something you see all the way in Genesis. The world is good. God has made it good. And God has put people in it. And people are to use it for good things. Sadly, what we're going to see is it doesn't work like that. People use these good things which God has given us. God has for destructive purposes. Even when we try to use them for good, it ends up being destructive. That's the story over and over. God makes good things. People use those for destructive purposes. So hopefully we'll see that. But what I want us to get is what they're feeling, what their desires are, what their motivations are. Why are they doing this? Why are they looking to settle? And you see this in what they say, verses 4 and 5. Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so we will make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. So, you can really see their desires, can't you? We don't want to be scattered over the face of the whole earth. That's their fear, is that they're going to be just nobody. They're going to be weak. They're going to be insignificant. They're going to be unheard of. They're going to be just scattered. So they've got this longing for security. And together is better. When people are together, we're more secure, you know. And they say they're going to build themselves a city. And a city is, in those days, the definition was a city was something with big walls around it, something with security. And you need a lot of people to come together with a common purpose to build a city. So they said, we're going to build this city and we're going to finally have security. And community, this whole thing is done in community, which we've seen is a good thing. Together is better. They want to do this thing so they can have this security and this community where they live together. And they want significance. So these are three things which they want. They want security, community, and significance. They say, we'll build a city and a tower that reaches up to the heavens. So the design was a kind of a city, probably round shape, and in the middle of the city is this big tower, much, much bigger than all the rest. The rest is houses and then this huge tower. It's a little bit like it's called a ziggurat. They're like an old version of pyramids. So like pyramids, but smaller, because they weren't as advanced as they were later on, but smaller and kind of with this zigzag shape. They just piled blocks up and it got up to this quite high point. And so this would have been visible for everybody. You know, you're coming towards the city and you can see this big tower. And you say, that's a significant amount of stone that they put there. That's an achievement. These people have done something with that. And they say it's going to reach up to the heavens. It's going to... Pretty much the idea is it's like a telephone to God. We can reach God. If God is up there, we can build this thing, which is like a staircase or a means of communication to God. And they would build a little shrine or a little temple at the top. And they would say, we've built this so we can get to God. Because they have this feeling that they're supposed to be in relationship with God and they're not, which I think everybody has to some extent. They have this feeling and they say, we're going to build this big tower which is going to get us back in contact with God. So those are the three reasons: security, community, and meaning, significance, and relationship with God, kind of. But you see the deeper... So those are all good things, I suppose. But you see the deeper motive, the deeper desire, which is causing all those things to happen. There is, it's in verse 4, that we may make a name for ourselves. That is, I think that's the key phrase. That's what's causing this to happen. They want to be a secure community that makes a name, as those people aren't going to be kicked out of their city. Those people are safe. They want to be seen as the people who have the link to God. They want to be famous in the whole world. So they've built this huge tower on this flat area so it can be seen for a long, long way. Those people are important. Those people are significant. They want to create this name for themselves. And I think this goes right back to Adam and Eve. This is similar to what Adam and Eve were doing. Adam and Eve believed, back in the chapter 3 of the Bible, they believed this lie from this serpent that they can make a name for themselves. They can be significant apart from God. If they took this fruit and if they ate this, if they took control of their lives, they were going to be significant. They could make a name. I think make a name for yourself is such a good phrase, but I'm going to define myself. I'm going to be who I want to be. We're going to control our lives. We're going to control our access with God. Because they had this fear of being a nobody. So this was their motive. It was this community which came together without God at the center, with people's desire to be significant at the center. So that's the first part. The second part is, well, what God does in response to that. So that first part is people coming together without God. The second part is people scattered by God. And then I'm going to, hopefully at the end, I'm going to talk about what a people brought together by God looks like. So, verse 5 is kind of a little bit of humor thrown in there. You've got all these impressive language. They've been building. They've built this big city. They built this tower. It's significant. We're going to make a name for ourselves. It's going to be great. And then it says, the Lord came down to see the city. So it's not like God was up in heaven, and suddenly this tower appeared, and it kind of shoots into his presence. He's like, oh no, a tower, how did they get here? This is, God's kind of looking down, and God's like, oh, wait a second. And he's like, there's a tower. They're trying to build a tower to get to heaven. And it's just, what a really bad, you know, it's not going to work. That's a really, really bad idea. It's not going to work. They're not going to get They're trying to have control over their lives, but it's just ridiculous. They have no control. And so by grasping for this control, it's ridiculous. So, but God doesn't laugh at it. He doesn't take their ability to kind of get into his presence seriously, to take control seriously, but he does take what's going on in their hearts very, very seriously. And the effect it's going to have on other people. You see this in verse 6. If, as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. I struggled a bit in understanding that. You're thinking, is God saying, "Oh, they're gonna take over"? But it's not saying that. It's saying that the effects it's going to have in the world, the effects it's going to have on other people, are going to be very, very destructive. If they take these good things, the technology God has given them, the community, which is a good thing, if they take those good things are going to be very, very destructive things. And not destructive for God. Nothing can destroy God, but they're going to be destructive for other people. A community which is united around its own interests and trying to make a name for itself is always going to be destructive. It's going to be destructive of itself in the long term, but it's going to be destructive of outsiders, people on the fringes. I think the best example I can think of this is in Nazi Germany. You know, in the early 1930s, it was a lot of good things. It was people coming together, having one language, a common purpose. Let's make a name for ourselves. Let's do this together. And really very united, a lot of good things, good community, wanting security, community, significance. Those are what they wanted, and they achieved those. But as it continued, their desire for security is going to mean destruction for other people. You know, it's going to mean we're going to invade other people. Community means we're going to push out other people who are not like us. And significance, you're trampling on other people, really. So I think that's what happens. When a community comes together without God at the center, it's always going to be destructive for people who, maybe not the people in the center, but people on the margins, people who are not like us, people who don't talk like us, who don't look like us, are always going to suffer. And so I think God steps in here and he says, "I'm not going to let that happen." God steps in and God says, "I'm going to put a stop to this before it just destroys the lives of so many people around them." It's always a bad idea to compare your local town to Nazis, but I'm going to do this. I think this same thing happens where I live in Ballina. Ballina is a wonderful place. It's a really great, great place. It's a really close community. I'm involved in the soccer club, and there's lots of these sports clubs, and people give a lot of time to volunteering. And so it's a very close community. But I think because it doesn't have God at the center, because it's a community brought together around, you could say making a name for yourself, but they probably wouldn't put it like that. You know, it's around, let's just have a nice life. Let's just be comfortable. Let's just get on with things. But because it's not built around God, you do end up pushing people aside who are not like you. People who are not Irish in our town just can't really become part of the community. People who are divorced, like I said, a reason our church is full of people who've been divorced is because they've all been pushed out of the normal community of the town, they're outsiders. Whatever. There's all these reasons people get pushed out of the community, and it's destructive. So something which is a good thing is destructive for other people, and that's what you see. So that's why God put a stop. That God isn't anti-community, but God he's against communities that are not built around him, because God says that only communities built around him will work, and we'll see that later. So look what happens. Verse 7. "Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So he doesn't go and knock over the tower. God didn't go and say, "Oh, they built a tower, it's terrible, let's go and knock it over." God went a bit deeper than that. God had a permanent solution to people trying to build these communities without him at the center. And it's to confuse their language. Instead of having one language, this one monoculture, which is going to destroy people on the fringes, God created this diversity. And this this was God's plan all along. God, at the beginning of the Bible, God said to people to be fruitful and multiply, to spread over the whole world, to have diversity and to be different. But people did the opposite. They came together and we said, we're going to be all together. We're going to be all the same. And God says, no, you're not. And he scatters them. God says that life without him at the center does not work. He's not going to let it work. And exactly what they feared happened. Verse 4, they said, we don't want to be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Verse 8 says, the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth. So their deepest fear happened by trying to take control of their life, by trying to take control of their situation, by coming together and saying, together we can be strong enough to do this. That was the... That's what led to them, their deepest fear happening to them. This is one of those parts of the Bible where you can fold it over. If you printed this out in an A4 sheet, and you kind of, verse 5 is in the middle. That's when God came down. And if you folded it over around verse 5, it all matches up. They all had this one language, and then the consequences was they had lots of language, and they all wanted to be together, and then they were scattered. They wanted control. They wanted that we're going to control our lives. We're going to even control access to God. And verse 9, the place ended up being called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language. So they wanted control, but what they ended up with was confusion. They wanted to make a name for themselves. And they wanted to be famous. And, you know, they are famous. We're talking about them a long time later. But what are they famous for? They're not famous as, those guys are great, those guys got it right. They're famous as guys who got it wrong. It clearly didn't work. The name Babel, it was probably the name they gave the city themselves. Babel is kind of gate of the gods. So they said, we've got the gate of the gods. We've got the access to God. But it's kind of a joke because the word Babel also means confusion. So God gave them the name they wanted, but God said, it's not this great name up that the whole world knows you're the gate of the gods. It's confusion. The whole world is going to know that it just didn't work out. You're a nobody. So that's, I just want us to be clear on that. Making a name for yourselves does not work. And the sad thing is a lot of us probably here maybe are trying to do that, to make a name for ourselves. We pursue that in our jobs. I'm glad actually I don't know that many of you, because I can be a bit more aggressive in this, but I think a lot of us we travel around the world, we get a new job, we study, we try and do these things. We come together with other people. We use good things which God has given, but we try and use them to make a name for ourselves. And God is saying that does not work. That does not work. So I want to end with talking about what a community brought together by God looks like. Because we've seen that one brought together around just around humans trying to make a name for ourselves doesn't work. So that's the first half of chapter 11. So I expected, the second half of chapter 11, it's going to be, but there's this other city over here, and it turns out those guys got it right. Those guys were worshiping God. It was wonderful, brilliant, problem solved. There's another city. But if you read the second half of chapter 11, if you turn over the page, there's no city. There's no, there's nothing really. It's just a list of people, and it kind of just, it goes on, and there's a list of people, and they have children, and then doesn't seem to be a particularly good family. They're not even a big family. It's just they have children and kind of spread. And then you get down to the end of verse 30. Sarai was barren. Sarai is the wife of this guy called Abraham, and it kind of zooms in on this one family who are scattered like everybody else to wander in the world. Nobody's. And this woman is barren. So it seems like things are really, really not going well. And if you read the rest of the book of Genesis, really, is the story of this one family wandering around the desert, living in tents, making really, really bad life decisions. It's not like there's these guys and they've got it all right. You just see over and over, they don't have it right. And I think God does that on purpose, because God says it's not going to be some people who get it right. It's going to be God who creates the community that works. It's going to be God who brings together this community around himself. There isn't another city. There's what God is doing in this long, slow, painful process of gathering his community, his way, because God wants us to be absolutely clear. It does not work. Life does not work gathered around making a name for ourselves, either individually or as a community. God wants to show it only works his way. God isn't against community. God is completely for it, but he just has a lot higher standards than us. He wants a better community. And this, if you know the story of the Bible, this goes on. And eventually, God's creating this community. That's the story of the Old Testament, really. That much of the Bible is the story of God creating a community that's going to be around himself. But it's not perfect. They don't really get it right yet. And then Jesus comes, and what you start to see with Jesus is, He gets it right. He reverses all the mistakes that were made. He lives again these situations. In Jesus' life, he doesn't try and make a name for himself like these guys were trying to make a name for themselves. Jesus lived to praise his Father's name. That was his deepest motive was for the glory of his Father. So he's redoing, going through what Babel did, but doing it right, living his life with God at the center. He reverses the pattern. And Jesus, he's not just an individual doing that, he does it himself. He creates a people who are going to live for God's name. And there's a lot of, you can see Jesus reliving this in so many ways. I think just like the tower was in the center of the city and everybody in the city could see it and could say that's giving significance, that's giving meaning to our life, that's who we are, that's the name we've made for ourselves. I think that is what Jesus does for Christianity. Jesus, his death on the cross and his resurrection is the center which we're gathered around, we live our lives around, and we can look to his death and his resurrection, and we can see that is what gives us significance. That is what shapes our lives. That's the name we have for ourselves. You know, if we call ourselves Christians, that's what we're saying. We're saying our identity is shaped by that. That's what our community is gathered around. That's our security. That's where we're getting our meaning from in life. And it's beautiful to see how this works out, because it works out in our lives and it works out in our churches in a completely different way. Instead of being this oppressive, everybody's got to be the same to fit into this community, everybody's got to talk the language and fit in, and if they're not like that, they get trodden on. Instead of that, you see in the Bible, in the New Testament, following on from Jesus, you see diversity. You see people come from all over the world. We read this passage from Acts, and that the day of Pentecost is the opposite of Babel. It's people from all sorts of places, speaking all sorts of languages, coming together and not having to fit into some box from some other culture, but being diverse, but being unified by the message of Jesus. And that spreads from there. It spreads throughout the whole world, and it's spread to us today, that we don't have to all be the same. Our unity isn't in our speech or in anything like that. Our unity is in being gathered around Jesus' death and resurrection. That's where it comes from. And God says that's the only community that really works. That's the only life that really works. I love to follow things through all the way, you know, to see where it really ends up. And if you turn to Revelation chapter 7, this is page 871. This is the community that lasts. All human communities aren't going to last, but this is the one that will. So, the top of that page, 871, verse 9. So this is a picture of life with God for eternity. After this I looked. Is that a way for everybody? After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." So this is the picture. This is the only community that's going to last. Some human organizations, nations, companies, whatever, families are going to last longer than others, but none are going to be permanent. This is the only thing that's permanent. God's people gathered around Jesus, worshiping his name. It's pretty beautiful, really. It's what people were made to do, to come together. Together is better, but together we're supposed to be worshiping the God who made us and rescued us. So I just want to end with a challenge to myself and then a challenge to you guys. So in church planting, I think the temptation is to do what Babel did. You can gather a group of people, we can have a meeting, we can do these things, we can build a church, but we can do it for our name. We can do all the stuff do everything by the book, you know, do everything right, we can preach the gospel, but our motivation, our fundamental desire can be doing it for our name. And I suppose I've seen that happen, and I know that temptation for myself, you know, to say, oh, if we do well, people will look up to us, we might get invited to speak at more churches, I know, whatever happens. But so I suppose this turns us back saying that doesn't work. The only one that works is the one that's built around praising God's name. And I want to give you each an individual challenge. Are you doing that in your life? Are you living for the glory of your own name, trying to make this reputation for yourself, or for anything, for your family, for whatever? But anything aside from God, it just is not going to work. It's not going to last. The only community that works, that lasts, is the one that God builds around Jesus for the glory of his name. I'll pray.